Stay tuned for CBS Mystery Theater next on KIXI.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Voodoo is a word to conjure with. And conjure is the right word. Because the high priest of voodooism was called a conjure man. It was he to whom the practitioners of voodoo turned when they wanted spells cast or lifted, enemies punished, or love affairs promoted. As voodoo spread northward from the island of Haiti to the Americas, and particularly to New Orleans, it should be noted that its most powerful conjurers were women.
Dambalaudeo, all-powerful one, see your knife, the sacred knife of our ancient gods. See, Dambala, the knife has drawn blood, and you, Dambala, you will now have another soul. Oh, Dambala, look with mercy and kindness upon this servant who will continue to serve you faithfully, now and forever.
Our mystery drama, The House of the Voodoo Queen, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett and stars Jordan Charney and Joan Loring. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If you take a look at the 1975 cars, you'll notice a European influence. And there are some new American cars that rival the Europeans. One being Buick's new Skylark SR, with its touring car interior and spirited little V6 engine. But don't think of the Skylark SR as a European tourer. We're proud of the fact that it's a Buick. You will be too.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
In God We Trust, America Speaks.
George Washington remarked during the Constitutional Convention, "Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God."
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
How to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I'm going to rent this apartment, but now the landlord wants a deposit equal to 2 months' rent to cover damage. I wonder if there's anything I should do to protect myself.
There certainly is, Lou.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Deposits are usual, but before you move into that apartment, go through it thoroughly and list any and all damage. Prepare this list in duplicate and have your landlord sign both copies. And before you sign that lease, find out what sort of repairs you will be responsible for and which are to be paid for by the landlord.
Then when you move, this list helps you to solve the mystery of who's to pay for what, right?
Right.
All of us have pictured in our imagination the perfect dream house. The castle in Spain, or the little cottage on the mountaintop overlooking that blue lake in the green valley. But few of us are ever fortunate enough to have our dream come true. Douglas and Helen Fenton were two young people who had that good fortune. And as we first meet them, they're having the happy experience of being shown through their perfect house in New Orleans, which they've acquired through the death of an uncle Douglas Fenton never knew existed.
And this was used as a music room in the old days.
Oh, I can just
see it. Can't you, Doug?
It's a beautiful room. Nice and sunny.
I think I have given you a thorough tour of your new home. And unless you have any questions, I should be getting back to the office.
I promise you'll be our first dinner guest. Won't he, Doug?
Oh, you bet. There are still a lot of questions I have about Uncle Timmy that I'll want answered.
I am at your service. Good day, and good luck, and good health. Don't bother, Mr. Fenton. I know the way out.
Oh, Doug, I'm so happy. I just love this house. Wait till you see what I do with it. What was that?
The movers?
Don't be silly, darling. They left hours ago. Remember?
Probably something fell.
It sounded like something falling. Who's that? Oh, Doug. I'm so glad you're home.
How did it go today, darling? Any better?
I really can't tell you, Doug, because I'm so ashamed. But I didn't stay home. I guess I'm just a big coward.
Oh, don't be silly. Anyone would be frightened by what goes on in this place.
Doug. Oh, what are we going to do?
I told you. Sell the house and find another.
Did you reach Mr. Lemoore's?
No luck. When I called, he was out. And when he called me back, I was in a meeting and couldn't take the call, but he promised to... Oh, that must be him now. Hello?
Mr. Fenton? Lemoore's here. Sorry we missed connections all day. What can I do for you?
Mr. Lemoore's, I don't know how to tell you this, but, well, Helen and I think the house is haunted.
If you don't like the house, you can always put it on the market.
We love the house. That is, we thought we loved it. Well, you can't live in a house where all night long you hear screams and chain rattlings and during the day thumpings and... Well, there's an odor, an indescribable odor of rot and decay that sweeps through the house from time to time. It's here now, as a matter of fact. And we wanted to know if you had had any complaints...
The house has been empty for years.
Well, maybe that's the reason. Have you heard anything that... Well, about the house being haunted?
You're serious?
Of course.
Then I can only tell you that feeling the way you do, you shouldn't stay in the house. I'll give you the names of some real estate agents who might be willing to handle it.
Have a seat, Mrs. Fenton. Tell me how I can help you.
Well, we have a house we'd like to put on the market.
Well, of course. Would you give me the location?
It's in an old neighborhood. 66 Delacorte Street.
Yes, I know the house. I thought it was vacant.
We just moved in. My husband's uncle left him the house, and we decided to move to New Orleans and live here.
Miss Fenton, I'll be honest with you. The house has a bad reputation.
I don't understand.
I think you do. Any honest real estate agent would have to warn a prospective buyer that there are definite problems connected with your house.
Of course. I understand that.
Well, then you also understand I'd have to offer the house way below the market value.
How far below?
I don't think I could ask more than
$20,000. $20,000? My husband and I wouldn't be interested at that figure. Thank you for your time.
Oh, not at all. If you change your mind, you know where to find me.
Now, how can a pretty girl look so unhappy after a dinner like this?
When the girl is thinking of going home to a house that scares her and that no real estate agent wants to handle.
Relax. Look, we'll put an ad in all the papers and sell it ourselves. You know, it might be better that way. We save a commission.
Oh, darling.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love you. You take such a big load off my shoulders and make everything seem so easy.
Oh, isn't that what husbands are for?
Hmm? I can think of a few other uses.
And that's one reason why I love you.
When are we going to put the ads in?
First thing tomorrow.
Doug, did you leave a faucet on?
What?
The water. Don't you hear it?
Yes. Yes, I hear it. Did you check the bathroom?
I was afraid to. Anyway, it certainly doesn't sound as if it's coming from the bathroom.
No. No, it seems to be right over the bed.
Oh, I can't stand it, Doug. Can't you do something?
I don't know what to... Tell it to go away, whatever it is. Do you think that would work?
We should call the police.
Oh, I would. I would if I felt they could help. Whatever it is hasn't hurt us, only annoyed us. So I think maybe if we show we're not bothered, the noises and the smells will stop.
I don't think I can do that, Doug.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's why we put the ads in the papers.
Doug, hold me. Hold me close. What's that?
If it's ghosts, they've come to the front door.
But who could come at this time of night?
You talk as if it were 3 a.m. It's only 10:30, and this is a late town. I suppose I'd better see who it is.
I'll come with you.
Be right with you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I never dreamed I'd be waking you. I'll come back some other time.
Oh, no. We weren't asleep. Come on in. Come in.
It was the advertisement in the Picayune. The house is for sale.
Oh, yes, it is.
I'm Doug Fenton, and this is my wife, Helen.
I'm Zoe Lemaitre.
You're interested in the house?
I am.
Are you married?
No. I'm quite alone.
But this is a large house. The ad described how many...
Darling, I'm sure Miss Lemaitre knows how large the house is. She's interested.
I know the house is large, but I'm hooked on antiquities. I think before we actually get down to business, I should tell you. I know all about the reputation this house has in this city.
You do?
I do.
And you still want to buy it?
If I can afford it. And I think that the only way you're going to dispose of it is to sell it very cheaply.
Miss Lemaitre, just how cheaply are you thinking? Or aren't you prepared to make an offer?
Oh, I'm not only prepared. I brought this certified check along.
You've made up your mind.
Here it is.
Oh, wow.
May I see? $7,800. Why, that's just...
A fair offer, considering the reputation of the house. Doug? Doug Fenton?
Miss Lemaitre?
Are you too angry with me to join me in a café filtre?
It's my wife who's angry.
Oh.
I never can stay mad at girls as pretty as you.
Thank you. Do you find me fascinating, Mr. Fenton?
Completely. I trust I have the same effect on you.
Oh, it's not you who interests me. It's your house.
Why?
I can't tell you.
Everyone in this town seems to know what's wrong with my house, except Helen and me.
They know there's something wrong. That's all they know.
Oh, and you know more, beautiful Zoe. Ah, yes. Behind those beautiful green eyes lies secrets.
And your attitude is one reason why I can't tell you. You wouldn't believe me anyway.
Try me.
All right. The house you're living in doesn't really belong to you.
Oh. I have a deed that says it does.
That house was stolen from the daughter of Marie Laveau.
Marie Laveau? Who's she?
The most powerful Bokor in the history of voodoo. The beautiful black woman who ruled as the voodoo queen of New Orleans for half a century. You, Douglas Fenton, are living in the house of the voodoo queen. And she wants you out.
When a landlord wants to evict a tenant, the tenant can always take his case to court. But when the fanciful notion is advanced that the landlord is really a voodoo queen who lived back in the 19th century, that tenant has a problem. I'll be back shortly with a terrifying solution found by Doug Fenton in Act Two.
Ever see a beer drinker pour his beer real easy down the side of the glass? Maybe you do it yourself. If so, the Budweiser brewmaster thinks you're missing something, especially if you're a Budweiser drinker. You see, Bud is brewed, so it will kick up a healthy head of foam. Exclusive beechwood aging and natural carbonation make it a lively brew. Well, anyway, pouring Bud plunk down the middle of the glass helps bring out the best in that clean white Budweiser foam and real beer aroma. It also helps you get the full benefit of a taste, smoothness, and drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Remember, brewing beer right does make a difference. Next time, pour that Budweiser right down the middle and see for yourself. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Cigarette?
No need for that. I'm ready.
Blindfold?
Dash it, man. Let's get it over with.
As you wish.
Ready? Aim! Fire!
Henry, wake up!
Huh?
You're dreaming again. Your tax audit?
Yeah, today's the day.
But you got all your records together?
Yes, I do. Aren't you coming?
You don't need me. You're ready.
Mm.
Can I help you, sir?
Well,
We are here for an audit. Won't you have a seat?
Thank you.
Well, now, let's see. If you have good records of your income and receipts for your deductions, an audit of your federal income tax return can be easier than you think.
How did it go, Henry?
Ha! No problem. Nothing I couldn't handle.
This message presented on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service.
Is an African religion, which has been variously described and downgraded by such descriptive phrases as black magic, mumbo jumbo, or a mess of meaningless ritualistic incantations practiced and believed in only by the ignorant and superstitious. Nevertheless, it survives. Douglas Fenton has been told that voodoo presents a very real and serious threat to his living in a house he inherited in New Orleans. But Douglas Fenton is a skeptic.
You're too much, Zoe.
Oh?
Well, you must really think I'm the biggest sucker you ever saw if you expect me to sell you a $60,000 house for $7,800 because of some crazy story about a voodoo queen. Wait, where are you going?
Before I called you ignorant. Now I know you're a fool. And I don't like fools.
Sit down.
Go home, Douglas. Go home to your pretty, silly wife. And the two of you can sit and laugh at Marie Laveau. But in the night when your blood runs cold and a nameless terror shakes your bones, remember me. And if you can, remember to call on the cochonnerie. And pray they show you mercy.
Hey, you think this stuff is for real, don't you?
I was born in New Orleans, as were my mother and grandmother. We know the power of the cochonnerie.
If I apologize, will you sit down?
I will sit. But it's useless. You will still disbelieve.
Can you blame me? I'm a product of the 20th century. You tell me a pretty wild story and mention things I've never even heard of. Like this cochonnerie.
The cochonnerie are an ancient society of voodoo priests.
And what's your connection with them?
They asked me for a favor. It's not wise to oppose them.
And the favor was to buy my house, huh? Well, why? Why do they want it?
Because it was the home of Marie Laveau. Because it really belongs to her, and they want it as a shrine. And their headquarters. What are you doing at this cafe this afternoon? What took you out of your office?
Oh, a problem. I've always found that a walk and some fresh air helps me.
Huh. Don't you find it strange that your work should lead to the back streets and this particular cafe?
I wanted to get away from crowds.
And how was it that I happened to be here?
Well, you can answer that better than I.
Yes, I can. Read this note. I received it at noon.
Cafe Lafitte, 3:30. Fenton will be there.
Oh.
Helen? Helen, darling. Helen, what's the matter?
Oh, Doc. Oh, I'm glad you're home. Glad. Look. Look there on the floor.
What the devil is it?
What does it look like?
Like a chicken that has had its neck wrung.
That's what it is. And I found it on our doorstep. Along with the chicken, I found this.
This looks like a child's drawing of some kind of snake.
No, not a child, Doug. Not a child. Now, according to the police, these are voodoo symbols. Have you ever heard of voodoo?
Strange that you should mention that. I had a crash course earlier today.
What?
The girl who came here to buy our house. I ran into her today at a sidewalk cafe. She seemed to know a lot about it. She told me...
Yes?
No, it's not important. What did the police say?
Well, these were voodoo symbols that they may be the work of a prankster or it might be a believer. And someone who thinks voodoo magic actually works. Someone with a grudge against us.
The Cochon Gris. I hoped I'd find you here.
Why, Mr. Fenton, what a surprise.
Look, don't try to put me on. You probably have a piece of paper on you somewhere that reads Café Lafitte, 822. Fenton will be there.
You're really rather charming, you know, Doug.
Well, I try. Particularly when someone looks like you. You know, I've never met a girl who even came close to you in looks. I think you've bewitched me.
Of course. But what have you done to me? Put a love spell on me.
I think you're trying to tell me something.
And if I am?
We should find a more private place.
I shouldn't tell you this.
Mm.
Oh, Doug, darling, I'd never felt like this before in my life.
Mm.
Never with anyone.
Oh, you're a beautiful liar. But I love to hear it.
I mean it, Doc.
Oh, you're an astonishing girl. Really? We've been here for 2 hours, and you've never once mentioned my wife.
Oh. Should I have?
Well, let's just say it's unusual.
Oh. You're an experienced adulterer.
Ouch. Now, why did I bring her name up?
I don't know.
I do. It's because I'm worried about the things she finds on our doorstep.
What sort of things?
Well, a chicken with its neck wrung. A piece of cardboard with a crudely drawn snake.
Oh,
yes, that means something to you, doesn't it?
Spells. They're put in or near people's houses for a purpose.
And they mean something.
Of course.
I'm almost afraid to ask.
You should be. The chicken with its neck wrung means death.
Helen? Helen, are you all right?
Yes, Doug, darling, I'm fine.
Oh. How was today, huh? I mean,
Well, if you mean, were there any other little presents left on our doorstep, no.
Well, that's good news. Maybe they've stopped.
I won't complain. After all, you're home early tonight.
What does that mean?
Oh, nothing, really. It's just that you've been working so late at the office so often, and I realize that I'm not as attractive as I used to be, and although I guess I'm not much...
Yeah, I hate to hear you talk like that.
Well, I hate to talk like that. Maybe I wouldn't if...
If what?
I know how attractive you are. And there are a lot of beautiful women in the world, and...
Oh, please, this isn't necessary, Helen.
I'm afraid it's very necessary. Will you stop seeing Zoe Lemaitre?
I'm as mad as anyone can get and still not commit murder. It's your associates. Those voodoo priests you tell me are called the Cochon Gris.
They're not my associates. Sometimes they ask me to do favors for them, and I know it's not wise to refuse.
Oh, they must really be grateful to you. They've rewarded you by telling Helen every time we met.
Oh.
Tell them to lay off.
I won't.
You won't? What do you want to do, break us up?
You know better than that, Doc. It's just that I don't want to make a fool of myself. If I go to the Cochon Gris with this request, they will simply tell me what I've been telling you all along. If you wanted to stop, sell the house.
We would, gladly, if we could get anywhere near what it's worth.
What is it worth, really, Doug? You can't find a buyer who'll even make an offer except the Cochon Gris. And they think they're being very generous.
I won't be taken.
You inherited the house. Whatever you get is pure profit. Oh,
you really don't understand, do you?
I know that if you won't sell, then Helen will have to suffer.
Not if I stop seeing you.
That would be your choice.
And I'm making it. Right now. If you can let me walk away rather than ask a simple favor of people who owe you, then I'll walk.
Goodbye, my love.
Have I told you it's nice having you home for dinners again?
You have?
You're bored with me.
No. With myself. And you're going to have me home a lot more from now on.
That's very good news.
I'm not so sure about that. I've lost my job.
You're kidding.
I wish I were. But they called me in yesterday with all sorts of excuses about cutbacks and economies and... Well, I'm out. I was the last man in, and now I'm the first man out.
Let's sell the house and get out of New Orleans. Oh, Doug, don't you see? It will be wonderful. We'll be starting all over again.
Back.
So I see.
May I come in?
What happened to your key?
I threw it away so I wouldn't be tempted to use it. But I couldn't stay away.
I'm glad.
Did you miss me?
Oh, Doug.
Oh, Zoe, my love, my darling.
You don't know how much I missed hearing those words the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid you're going to miss them a lot more.
What?
I've lost my job, and Helen's at me to sell the house and get away from this city. And, incidentally, you.
Oh.
She no longer cares how little we get for it. She's completely fed up.
And you, Doug?
Well, it's very tough to put up a decent argument for staying.
If you could, would you stay?
How can I stay without money?
If it's money that separates us, you don't have to say goodbye at all.
Excuse me, love. I didn't know I was talking to a wealthy plantation owner.
I only meant I might be able to get you all the money you want.
The only friends I know you have are the tightwad Cochon Gris who only want to pay a $7,800 for a $60,000 house.
They've been known to put a higher price on other things.
Like what?
Souls.
Oh. You know, you're really too much with that voodoo business. If there were anything to it, which you know I don't believe for a minute, I'd have to be crazy to be willing to sell my soul.
I didn't mention your soul, did I?
I can't sell what I don't own, and as far as I know, I only have one soul.
There are others you can pledge. Other souls you can speak for.
Would you care to put a name to that soul?
Anyone near and dear to you.
Like Helen.
She would be one.
Oh. I don't know whether to laugh or just walk out of here.
I'd never hurt you, Tom.
I mean, just what kind of a man do you think I am?
A man I can love.
Love? That word sounds very strange on your lips. The same lips that can talk about me selling my wife's soul.
Oh, go away. You're just like everyone else, crying about not having any money and not willing to pay the price for getting all you want. Everything you want. Including me.
Helen, Helen, what are you doing?
Packing. You can't seem to make up your mind, so I'm making it up for you. I told Mr. Vincent, the real estate agent, to take whatever he can for the house, and we're getting out. Tonight.
Oh, I've been expecting you. There's a café filtre on the coffee table.
Well, how did you know I'd come back?
Because I chose you. I couldn't make a mistake about the man I chose to love.
Well, when you stop patting yourself on the back, I'd better tell you that the only reason I'm back is because I don't believe any of this voodoo stuff. And that's why I'm willing to go along.
Of course.
And to prove it, I'm not going to make any deal where I have to shoot, stab, poison, or in any way do anything that's going to cause physical harm to Helen.
No one's going to ask that of you. All that's required is this knife. And your blood.
If you're in love with a beautiful girl who practices voodoo and believes that a drop of your blood drawn from you by a sacred knife will bring you luck, why not? And from there, it's just a short step to making deals about souls, yours, and even others. Because after all, it doesn't really work. Or does it? I'll be back in a moment with Act Three.
When you buy a mid-sized car, you expect certain things from it. Mainly, a reasonable combination of comfort and economy. Well, friend, Buick has a mid-size to meet your expectations. The 1975 Century Regal. It's a joy to look at. A joy to ride in, and Buick's new V6 engine makes it a joy to drive, especially past gas stations.
Buick Century Regal, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
The blue whale is the biggest animal that ever lived, bigger than two dinosaurs, heavier than 25 elephants. Today it's nearly extinct after years of relentless commercial hunting. Now other whales are in danger. For what? Some rare vitamin, some precious serum? No, for margarine, pet food, shoe polish. What a way to go. Help save the whales we have left. Write National Audubon Society, 953rd Avenue, New York, New York.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
I think all of us feel some small twinges of apprehension when we sit in the doctor's office waiting for the injection we know we must have. But how do you describe the feelings of a young man sitting opposite a girl he adores who's wielding a ceremonial knife preparatory to drawing some blood?
Zoe, my love, you're beautiful and an enchantress. But somehow you look different with that knife in your hand. May I see it?
Be careful. It's very sharp.
And heavy.
It's pure gold.
I don't suppose you could use something smaller than this. It really looks lethal.
I could use a lot of different things, but then this paper would be meaningless.
Well, it's blank.
At the moment. It won't be after you write your wife's name on it.
Well, before I do that, what am I supposed to get?
As much money as you need. Or what?
Well, suppose I said I want $1 million.
The amount isn't important. Just trust me and for 1 year money will rain on your head in a golden shower.
And what happens after the year's up?
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
What have I got to lose?
Nothing. But before you write your wife's name, you know, of course, what she is losing.
Yeah, I know. I'm pledging her immortal soul. How is she, Doctor?
I'm afraid I don't have very good news for you, Mr. Fenton.
Haven't you found out yet what's wrong?
The tests are inconclusive, and none of the medication we've been giving her seems to be able to help.
What is it? Is it a bug or a virus?
We just don't know. She's been asking for you.
Helen? Helen? I'm here.
Oh, Doug. You didn't have any trouble getting away from the office?
I keep telling you, darling, I'm my own boss now. And if things keep going the way they are, I may even turn out to be a tycoon.
I'm dying, Doug.
No, Helen, please, now you mustn't even...
It's all right. You mustn't feel badly. The way things went since we came to New Orleans, I'm beginning to think that death might be the best thing for me.
Helen, I don't want you to talk that way.
Doug, I want you to promise me one thing. Just one thing, please.
Anything.
When I die...
No, please, now, will you stop talking about dying?
Please, Doug, listen to me. You must get out of that house. Get rid of it. Promise me, Doug. You'll never set foot again in that horrible house. Oh, delicious. Mm. I do adore champagne.
Well, when are we going to make it all legal?
You mean with a wedding and everything like that?
Oh, and what a wedding. What a reception. And what a honeymoon. The biggest, most expensive...
Helen's been dead only 3 months. Not a very long period of mourning.
Who says?
A lot of people. Nasty, gossipy people.
Dull, stodgy people. Who cares about them?
Or what they say to your business associates.
What can they say?
That you became very rich very suddenly, that your wife died mysteriously, that I'm a witch, and that perhaps people should be careful about doing business with you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'd almost forgotten. It's all because of that voodoo group you fool around with. Hmm?
You'll have to admit that everything happened after we went through the ceremony they told me to perform.
Right. I'll admit that first sugar deal on the commodities market was luck. But after that, give me a little credit. I got smart about commodities. And now I know what I'm doing. So, when do we get married? Hmm?
Why is marriage so important to you?
You wouldn't be stalling me, would you, my love?
Don't be silly, Doug. Shouldn't you wait and see when your 1 year contract is up that your luck doesn't change?
Come in. Come in, Lamour. Sit down.
Your offices are most impressive, Fenton. Most impressive.
You said that you wanted to see me on a matter of utmost urgency.
That's right. First, I owe you an apology.
For what?
For my cowardice.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The facts about your uncle's house, which I knew and withheld from you deliberately.
No. Forget it. I'm out of the house, and you have nothing to reproach yourself for.
I had heard you sold the house, and I also know the price. That suggested to me that you still had your reasons for...
I just didn't want the trouble of looking around for buyers. I grabbed the first offer I got.
From Miss Lemaitre?
Something wrong with that?
I will be brief. I didn't tell you and your wife the history of the house because I was afraid. Afraid of the cochon gris. Afraid of the power of voodoo. Fenton, you're in danger.
Me?
Yes. How did your wife die?
Some unknown virus. Some kind of fluke, the doctor said.
Don't you think that's strange? An unknown disease in this day and age?
Look, Lamour, you can believe what you want, but leave me out.
I can't. Because of your relationship with Miss Lemaitre, I beg of you one favor. Tonight, come with me and meet Louis Castin. It may be your only chance to save yourself.
I don't feel any need for salvation. Now, if you'll...
You've heard of Louis?
Never.
Louis Castan is a 90-year-old Cajun who's lived all his life in the bayous. He knows more about voodoo than any other human being.
What are you doing?
Helping you out of my office, since you won't leave when I ask you to.
I'll gladly go. If you'll tell me you haven't let her talk you into making some kind of silly bargain.
Why did you say that?
So you have. You've sold your soul. Fenton, for the love of God, come with me to the bayou tonight. Louis, this is Douglas Fenton.
I hope we meet in time, no?
I'm here only because Mr. Lemours has practically kidnapped me.
Mr. Lemours has lived in Louisiana a long time. He knows much about voodoo and Cajuns.
All right. All right. What do you have to tell me?
First, you tell me what you have done with the Bokor.
What the devil is a Bokor?
A very bad person. One who knows the darkest secrets of voodoo and uses them for evil ends. One who is pledged to Tambala Odeo, the great snake god.
Oh, this all sounds like something out of the Middle Ages.
No, Mr. Fenton. It is much older than that. Have you ever seen a knife like this?
Maybe. I don't know. I've seen a lot of knives.
But one like this you would remember, no? A pure gold knife with these writings.
But what if I have?
If you have only seen it, Mr. Fenton, that is well. But if it has drawn your blood, that is very bad.
How come you know so much about all this voodoo ritual?
I had a wife. I loved her much, yes. She loved other things more. She sold my soul, Mr. Fenton, sold my soul to Dambala Odeo. I found her just in time, and I defeated her and her Bokor. But I paid a price. I cannot use my limbs. You see, Mr. Fenton, I must sit here until the end. But Dambala Odeo and I, we will fight, you understand?
And that's why you brought me here, Lemours, huh? Because you think I've fallen somehow under the spell of...
The Bokor Zoé Lemaître.
We are going to be married.
When?
We haven't set the date, but she has agreed to marry me.
She will not marry you. If, as I believe, she is Bokor, she will want to destroy you and take your soul. She will never marry.
I know you're wrong. Well, look, as long as I came here, what must I do if you're right?
She must follow the ritual for the sacrifice. She will ask you to perform some ancient marriage rite to strengthen the vows. It will be a powerful voodoo, and she will need a drug. And she will ask you to drink. If you drink, nothing can save you.
If she does ask me to go through this ceremony, is there anything I can do?
You can use this knife. I give it to you.
The gold knife.
It is easily concealed in your clothing, as you see. And you will use it.
But I thought you said that this knife could only be used by a Bokor.
Or on a Bokor.
Where were you last night, my love? You're not the only one who's jealous, you know.
You never have to worry about me. You should know by now that I'm yours, my love, for life. Zoe? Are we going to get married?
Of course.
When?
Whenever you like.
You mean that? You really mean that?
You set the date.
Today?
Oh, really, Duck? You've got to give a girl a chance to get
ready. All right. Well, how about Saturday?
Saturday sounds lovely.
There's just one silly favor I'd like to ask.
Oh, anything. What?
Before the real wedding, with the minister and everything. I know it's superstitious, but you know you're Zoe. I just wouldn't feel that we were truly married unless we went through a little native ceremony that my family has observed in every marriage.
A native ceremony?
It's nothing, really. Just the two of us before an ancient altar. I know you'll think it's nonsense, but it means so much to me. So much that I don't think I can marry you unless you go through with it.
This is my old house. Why do we have to come here?
Shh, don't ask so many questions. Just pretend we're playing some childish game. It will seem that way to you, Doug, but to me it's... well, the way we've always done things.
What's that?
The altar.
But that statue, it's...
He looks frightening, but it's just an old statue of the snake god that blesses every marriage.
Zoe, please. You know I don't believe all this.
Oh.
Maybe you're used to the darkness and the candles and the drums, but...
Here, drink this and you'll feel better.
What's that?
A little ceremonial wine, darling. It was left on the altar for us. Drink it.
Do you really want me to drink from that goblet?
Yes.
You insist?
Darling, it's the only way. You will drink for me.
If you come into my arms and hold the goblet to my lips.
Now who's acting childishly?
It's the only way.
All right. Here, dearest. Drink. But Doug, you're holding me too tight. Doug, the knife. No, no. Dumba, help me.
I drank, my love. And now we'll be together always. Just the way you wanted it.
A friend of mine told me the story of an investigative reporter who penetrated some real voodoo ceremonies and photographed the strictly forbidden rites. The pictures somehow were ruined in development, and the journalist developed an unfortunate tic. His right hand, the hand that operates a camera, now moves ceaselessly in the air, completely out of control. The doctors diagnose it as a nervous disorder. But of course, they don't practice voodoo. I'll be back in a moment.
Hi, dear, I'm home.
Will the defendant please rise?
Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry I'm a little late, but...
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
I worked late, and the traffic was heavy, and I stopped for a drink at Rocky's.
The accused is charged with breach of promise and willful negligence.
Okay, so it's 7:15, but you have to make a big federal case out of it.
The defendant is found guilty as charged.
Close the court at your house. Cancel the trials. Stop appointing each other as both judge and jury. Hear where the other is and work through the hassles together. And forgive a little, as God forgives a lot. A nudge toward respecting others from the Mennonite churches.
It's amazing how many of us invest inanimate objects with supernatural powers. On the other hand, perhaps our superstitions are only faint memory traces, throwbacks to our ancestors who prayed to rocks and trees and mountains. Today, we've progressed beyond those beliefs. We're sure that inanimate objects are powerless. On the other hand, we're told that nothing is sure except death and taxes. And, of course, the fact I'll be here tomorrow. Our cast included Joan Loring, Jordan Charney, Rene Roy, Dan Ockel, and Gilbert Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
After last night and today, I'm taking no chances. Maybe with your superior intelligence, you have no worries about our abortive attempt at Satanism. But I have. Look, I was the victim, and since a crack on the head denied me any knowledge of what happened, I'm only hoping you can give me the straight goods.
The straight goods. A peculiarly inept term for what we are engaged in, my brother, in Satan.
Damn it, it's not a deal in semantics, Anton. Now, what happened after I summoned up the fiend? I mean, how did you escape, and how could I have been harmed? As long as I was safe in the magic triangle within the circle.
I warned you to keep your feet still. If you touch any part of the circle itself or the triangle within it, you are at the mercy of all the devils in hell.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
FM in Seattle. The weather outlook calls for occasional rain through Saturday. The highs 45 to 55 and the lows 35 to 45. In downtown Seattle, currently it's 49 degrees, the same at the airport. The barometer is holding steady at 29.88. At KIXI, the time now is 11 p.m.
CBS News. The nation now has a vice president. Nelson Rockefeller received final congressional approval and was sworn in Thursday evening. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Final approval of Rockefeller came when the House voted for his appointment. The vote was 287 to 128. There were 99 Democrats and 29 Republicans voting no. Confirmation came 4 months after Rockefeller was appointed by President Ford under the 25th Amendment. Rockefeller took the oath from Chief Justice Warren Burger in nationally broadcast ceremonies from the Senate chamber. In his speech, Rockefeller talked about the debate in Congress over his confirmation.
I've learned a great deal from this experience of the past 4 months. And I've come out of it with an even greater respect for the Congress of the United States. A more profound appreciation of the collective wisdom of the American people as expressed through the Congress. And a deeper understanding of the breadth of the responsibility to the people of this great free land that falls upon those of us in positions of public trust.
Rockefeller, a four-term governor of New York, is believed to be the richest man ever to hold high national office. After the ceremonies for Rockefeller Thursday night, the Senate went back into session and passed a bill to fund public service jobs and extend unemployment benefits. The legislation now goes to President Ford. It provides $4 billion to start the public service jobs program and $1.1 billion to provide a full 52 weeks of jobless benefits for most workers. More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
Some hostages have now been released by four gunmen who robbed a suburban Minneapolis supermarket Friday night. Two suspects surrendered and two others are apparently still inside the store. More from Bruce Hagovic in Richfield, Minnesota.
The gunmen talked by phone tonight with Minnesota Governor Wendell Anderson, and the governor assured them they would be treated fairly if they give themselves up. Earlier, a fifth gunman was captured by police officers as he tried to escape through a rear door. A gunfight broke out as police arrived during the holdup attempt, with two of the holdup men injured but not seriously. A doctor was allowed in to treat them. Now, authorities continue to negotiate with the gunman as a getaway car awaits outside. Bruce Hagovic for CBS News in Richfield, Minnesota.
In Saigon Friday, the U.S. Embassy disclosed that it's given information to the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong about 87 American prisoners still listed as missing. The embassy says the documents show conclusively that the communists have information on the 87 men. But the American embassy says it wants to stress this does not necessarily mean the men are still alive. Three people were injured Thursday night in London when a bomb went off on a street crowded with holiday shoppers. The bomb exploded in a car outside Selfridge's department store on Oxford Street. It was the third straight night a terrorist bomb went off in London, and police say they suspect Irish terrorists. In a report from Dublin, the Reuters news service quotes informed sources as saying the provisional wing of the Irish Republican Army is planning to suspend its campaign of violence over the Christmas period. Now this.
The 1975 World Almanac, the world's foremost single-volume reference, is now on sale. You're buying more than a book with the World Almanac. You're buying a world of information. The new World Almanac's 976 pages are packed with a million-plus facts and figures on just about anything you'd want to know. An informative companion around the home, the fastest source of information you'll find in any office, and a student's best friend, all rolled up in one book, the 1975 World Almanac. A great stocking stuffer for Christmas, too.
Tom T. Hall. The United Nations Children's Fund is helping 100 million children all over the world to get better food, health care, and education. Please give generously when the neighborhood youngsters come to your door for UNICEF.
President and Mrs. Ford Thursday night hosted a party for the White House press corps. One reporter said it was the best time at the White House in years as he headed for the bar. The newsmen also sampled food from a buffet and danced with their spouses. Last Christmas, then-President Nixon had no party for the White House News Corps, partly because of the rift he was having with reporters over Watergate. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle. This is KIXI. With the time now is 6 minutes past 11.